Let us commence our service this evening by singing together hymn number 193 to the tune St. Fulbert 221. I am, says Christ, your glorious head. May we attention give the resurrection of the dead, the life of all that live. Hymn 193.
Thank you.
just read together from the Holy Word of God in the Gospel according to John and chapter 6. John's Gospel, chapter 6. Commence reading at verse 22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that one wherein his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What? And if you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word and grant to us a spirit of real prayer. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty, which is and art to come, we bow before thy great, thy glorious, thy eternal majesty, the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, hymned by all the heavenly hosts, Lord, we poor sinners here would seek to bow before thee. We are each and every one of us the fallen sons and daughters of Adam, born in sin, shapen in iniquity. Lord, if there's any in this chapel tonight that know not that they are fallen and sinful and wretched and undone, we do pray that this may be the time when the Spirit of the Lord will enter their hearts and convince them of their sin and lead to Jesus' blood, and to their wandering eyes reveal the secret love of God. Lord, so hear us, we do beseech thee. And if there are those here, O Lord, that feel the burden of their sin, feel their poverty, their insufficiency, their lack of light and life, oh, we pray that it may be the time when thy reviving and resurrecting power may be felt and realized in our hearts, even as the prayer of our opening hymn. For thou art the resurrection and the life, Lord Jesus. And we come unto thee, the great God, in thy precious name, Lord Jesus. That thou art the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by thee. We come pleading thy precious merits. For all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We are all as an unclean thing, unrighteous altogether. Great God, we do pray that thou wouldst accept us, that thou wouldst receive us graciously, that thou wouldst hear our petitions as we cry unto thee, and that we may touch the hem of Jesus' garment, that we may draw from that sacred fullness that is in him, that virtue, and the fullness of that virtue, the virtue of his precious blood, the virtue of his glorious righteousness, the virtue of that everlasting light that flows through him, that shines through him. And may we taste of those living waters that flow from him and eat of that living bread that he is, that we may eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, that by faith we may lay hold upon him, that we may embrace him in the arms of living faith. So bless us, Lord. We're not worthy, but we come in his name and we plead with thee for his name's sake. Bless each one here this evening. O Lord, open the eyes and the ears and the hearts. Graciously lift the heavy burden. Enlighten the darkened mind. Set at liberty those in bondage. We do beseech thee. We pray, dear Lord, for the little ones and the children that gather in the sanctuary. We thank thee for them. We love to see them and hear them in the sanctuary. And we pray that they may be blessed in their young, in their tender years, and preserved and kept and delivered from all evil. We pray, dear Lord, thy blessing upon the young friends. Help them, guide them, direct them. Bless them, Lord. First and foremost, our great desire is that they might be brought to know the Lord Jesus, to serve him and to follow him, to have believing views of the glory of his person and the wonder of his grace. And we pray that thou wilt supply all their needs in education, give them wisdom and understanding and help. And Lord, and regarding their paths in providence, employment, a partner in life journey, we lovingly commend them to thee, to the word of thy grace, which is able to build them up and to grant them an inheritance among them that are sanctified. Thou knowest the burdens of their heart. O Lord, we pray for prodigals, those that have wandered away, those that no longer desire to come to the house of bread, no longer have an appetite. Lord, we pray it may be with them as it was with the prodigal son, that thou wilt cause them to be in want and to return. I will go to my father's house. Lord, we pray that it may be so, and that we may see them afar off, and that we may run to meet them. Lord, may it be so. Give us that real burden and exercise as a church to see returning prodigals. And give us a real burden that the glory and light and power of the gospel may shine into this village. and the surrounding villages and hamlets, and the word of the Lord distributed may be done in faith, and we may watch unto prayer and see answers, signs to follow the distribution of the word of God. Lord, may it be so, for thy great name's sake. We read of thee, for I am returned unto Jerusalem with mercies. Lord, we pray that it may be so. We seek thy blessing upon each one in the midst of the journey of life. Oh, to be made spiritually minded, our affection set upon things above. Oh, to be delivered in the sanctuary from worldly carnal thoughts, but our hearts, our minds, our affections set upon things above. May we feel those sweet drawings of a heavenly Father that we have read of in the Word. Deliver us from the temptations of the enemy. Deliver us from the work and power of Satan, whether he comes as an angel of light to deceive or a roaring lion to devour. Lord, we cannot stand in our own strength against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We pray, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst bless those in the evening time of life's journey. Help them, support them, sustain them. And we pray for our beloved brethren, the deacons, that grace, wisdom and help may be given them. We pray to be kept together, pastor, deacons, church, congregation, kept together in the sacred bonds of Christian love, union and communion. Thou hast granted us this blessing. Lord, increase our faith, increase our love. Help us to esteem each other better than ourselves to be. Help us continually to watch unto prayer, and let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Great God, hear us. May we see the fulfilling of that word. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. Lord, we render thanksgiving unto thee for the abundance of thy mercy, of thy loving kindness, of thy great goodness. We bless thee that thy mercies are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. We have a roof over our head. We have a well-spread table. We have, O Lord, clothes to put on. Lord, we do desire a thankful heart, that we may not just take these things for granted, for they all flow from thy bounty. Every blessing and every favour freely flows through Jesus' precious blood. We thank thee for that precious blood. We thank thee for that sin atoning sacrifice. We thank thee for the incarnation of the Son of God. We thank thee for the holy life he lived and the holy law he fulfilled. We thank thee for the holy sacrifice where sin has been put away and divine justice has been satisfied. And we thank thee that he loved not his life unto death, but he gave his life a ransom for all. Oh, we bless thee for a Saviour that died for our sins and rose again for our justification, and now sitteth at thy right hand in heaven above. Oh Lord, we bow before thee. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We have a great high priest who is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, who has said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Lord, hear us. Remember all thy servants as they labour in word and doctrine. Remember, O Lord, the little hills of Zion up and down the land, our own little group of churches, both here, USA, Canada, Australia. Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst remember all the assemblies, and wherever thy people meet, wherever thy servants stand, whatever persuasion they may be of, but Lord, we pray that thou wouldst pour out thy Spirit, that thou wouldst return to Jerusalem with mercies, that thou wouldst arise and may bear thy holy arm in the gospel. Come and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing together hymn number 234 to the tune Arabia 617. He that believeth Christ the Lord, who shed for man his blood, by giving credence to his word, exalts the truth of God. So far he's right, but let him know, further than this, he yet must go. Hymn 234.
Thank you.
greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your attention to the chapter that we read, the sixth chapter in the Gospel according to John, reading verses 39 and 40 for our text. John's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 39 and 40. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. How many times do we notice in the Word of God the Lord Jesus was misunderstood in the things that he said? The woman by Jacob's well, when he said that the water that he would give her was living water, she would never thirst again. She said, Lord, evermore give us this water. And we're no need to come and draw from the well anymore. But you see, my beloved friends, he was speaking spiritually. And the same here, when he speaks of the bread of life, he's speaking spiritually. And he's speaking of a spiritual feeding, which of course is by faith. To feed by faith. You notice here how in this chapter, we didn't read the whole of the chapter because it's too long, but it speaks here in the first part of the chapter of the Lord Jesus. He was in a desert place and saw a great company come unto him in verse 5. And he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. There's such a lot in that, my beloved friends. The Lord, he speaks a word to us to prove us. But he knew what he would do. Even though he asked this question to Philip, he knew what he would do. But he was proving him. And the Lord does that with us. He proves us. He knew what he would do. And in various troubles and trials that we come into. And maybe, as it was here with this great company of 5,000. You just imagine that. Feeding 5,000. Philip said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. You see, and then in verse 9, there is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? You see, but he knew what he would do. He knew the only food among that 5,000 people was 5 barley loaves and 2 little fishes. And immediately he says, make the men sit down. And so they sat upon the grass, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. They all ate until they were satisfied. And then in verse 13, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets. They had more, lots more, when they'd finished eating than they had before they started. You see, my beloved friends, what wonderful things our Lord Jesus can do. He can make A little will go a long way, and he still can. And some of us have proved it. He can make a little go a long way. That those words are still relevant today, my beloved friends. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All your need. Everything, and that's not just spiritual, that's the things of this life, providential. He will supply everything that you stand in need of. You see this wonderful miracle. And they said in verse 14 that this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. And that of course is referring to a sacred prophecy given by the Lord's servant Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, and speaking of the coming of Christ, the great prophet of the Lord. I think it's found in the Deuteronomy chapter 18, and it speaks there of the Lord in verse 15, the Lord thy God, this is Moses speaking by way of prophecy of the coming of Christ. The Lord thy God shall raise up unto thee a prophet. Notice it's written with a capital P. Why? Because it's the Messiah, the Son of God. The Lord thy God shall raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren. In other words, he would become bone of our bone. Moses says, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more that I die not. That, of course, is the giving of the law. And we read in the Hebrews that in the giving of the law, that even Moses trembled and shook. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him, and it shall come to pass. What a solemn word this is, isn't it? And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. It's a solemn thought, isn't it? And so the people in this wonderful miracle that they saw, they could see that this was the Messiah. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. You see, and they would have come and took him as a king. And they would seek to make him a king. But he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Our Lord Jesus often retired to a mountain. We read that he spent whole nights in prayer alone in the mountains, where he would not be disturbed, praying unto his Father. See, and then they entered into a ship. In verse 17, it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. What a thought, isn't it? We look at this in a spiritual light, and it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And then, to add to that, the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 520 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. And he said unto them, it is I, it is I, be not afraid. Wonderful words. I remember when the Lord spoke those words to me as if it was an audible voice with such power into my heart. It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship. And immediately, they were in the middle of the sea, and immediately, as soon as Jesus was in the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. You see, my beloved friends, this almighty Jesus, with heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. It doesn't matter what trouble, what trial, what perplexities, how great, how small, this glorious Saviour, he waits to answer prayer. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will hear thee. He said, I will answer thee. I will deliver thee. How many promises the Lord gives. Now, you see, friends, we need to look at why we are following and seeking. You see that the Lord Jesus in verse 27, labour not for the meat that perisheth. When they found him on the other side, verse 25, of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. That's what motivated them. Another great miracle. Labour not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. This glorious Saviour who was to give his life for his friends. I lay down my life for my friends. I offer that glorious and that bloody sacrifice on the cross of Calvary to redeem my people, to save my people from their sins. And he said, they said unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then? You see, they point out in verse 31, Our father did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Again, the Lord Jesus, he corrects them. He corrects them. The bread from heaven is Christ. He's the bread of life, not the manna that the children of Israel did eat and are dead. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, that means certainly, certainly, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which came down from heaven, the glorious person of the Son of God, he which came down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again, they said, Lord, evermore give us this bread. You see, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, just like the woman by the well. He that drinketh of the water that I shall give him, it shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But then he says these solemn words. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. They were held in unbelief. And so is every one of us, until the Holy Spirit quickens our soul, until the Holy Spirit enlightens us, until the Holy Spirit opens our understanding and gives us a heart of flesh. He takes away the heart of stone, which is a dead heart by nature, and he gives us a heart of flesh. And until the Holy Spirit does that, my beloved friends, there's no life. No spiritual life, no spiritual understanding, no spiritual sight, no spiritual hearing. Surely that is what the Apostle Paul, he speaks so clearly of in the second chapter of the first epistle to the Corinthians. He speaks there so clearly of this divine work of the Holy Spirit and how vital that work is. The apostle, he speaks here in this chapter of his preaching. He says in verse 2, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear, in much trembling. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. See, friends, this is what we need. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Oh, we would ever labour that it may be so with each one of us. That we will not rest, as it were, in a religion that is of the flesh, a religion that is of the natural mind and not of the Spirit of God. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, he says we speak wisdom, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. It's hidden. It's hidden. Christ said in his prayer, didn't he, in Matthew 11, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now he says, the princes of this world knew it not. By that he means the rulers of this world, of the Romans and of the Jews. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And then he quotes to us from Isaiah, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But this is what I wanted to come to, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received. What a wonderful thing, my beloved friends, if you and I can testify. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I remember there was quite a section in the church at Westerning when I was a young man, and they were very strong on, they wanted a teaching ministry. And they laid great emphasis, we want a minister that is able and lucid and able to teach us. We need a teaching ministry. And I can hear my father preaching one Sunday on that very point. He said, some people say we need a teaching ministry. He said, what they want is something to teach their head. He said, what we need is the teaching of the Holy Ghost. Something to reach into our very souls. Something to enliven us and to renew us. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. What he means there, it is comparing the Word of God with the Word of God. And so opening the Word of God. But then he's very clear here, friends. It's similar to what we have, what Christ is teaching. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Don't we come down, my beloved friends, to the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ? You might say, well, you're always telling us of it. I must. Because it's so essential. You must be born again. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. It's absolutely vital. And the Lord Jesus here, he says in the verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. All that the Father giveth me. It's divinely certain. We do not preach a yea and nay gospel. As the apostle says again in the Corinthians, our gospel is not a yea and nay gospel. It's a yea and amen gospel. It's divinely certain. It will reach the hearts of the hearers by the divine power of the Spirit, by the divine drawings of the eternal Father. This is the will. This is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Certain. And he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. In no wise cast. Why? Loved with an everlasting love. Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. Quickened by the Holy Ghost. Redeemed at the cross of Calvary. It's divinely certain. They shall come. That lovely verse. I often remind you of it in the last verses of Psalm 22. They shall come. And then in Isaiah 54, all thy children, whose children? Zion's children, the children of God, the children of the heavenly King. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me. It's a lovely, I love to dwell on those beautiful words of grace that are so exceedingly well known in the third chapter of John's Gospel. Verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There is salvation in none other. As the apostle said in their preaching, that there is none other name that is given under heaven whereby you must be saved, that the glorious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Him hath God exalted as a prince and as a saviour, for to give faith and repentance and remission of sins. Notice, for to give faith and repentance and remission of sins. It's what he gives. It's a divine gift. The apostle, when he writes to the Ephesians, he says, faith is the gift of God. It's the gift of God. Him hath God exalted, Jesus Christ, as a prince, as a mighty king, as a prince, and as a saviour, for to give faith and repentance and remission of sins. For this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, he redeemed his people. He lived for his people. The apostle, I think he puts it so clearly, so beautifully in Galatians 4. He was made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them that are under the law. That's what Christ came to do, to pay the redemption price. His people had sinned. His people had made themselves odious to God. They'd broken the holy law of God. And the holy law of God was very clear. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Cursed is every man that doeth not all things that is written in the book of the law to do them. Jesus came to be made a curse. He that was pure, holy, righteous altogether, he came to be made a curse. You might say, well, how was he made a curse? Cursed is every man that hangeth upon a tree. That's written in the book of Leviticus. It's what is called a typical law or precept. Cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. Why should it be different to a man who hangs on a tree, a man who hangs on a rope, or a man that is slain by the sword? What is the difference? There's only one thing, friends. That precept is pointing to the cross of Calvary, and that the holy, spotless Son of God, manifest in the flesh, would be nailed to a cross of wood, would be crucified on the behalf, in the room, in the place, in the stead of his people. As we read in Isaiah 53, he that is our gracious eternal Father, he laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And having our iniquities laid upon him, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. This glorious, suffering Saviour. Why did he suffer? Why did he bleed? Why did he die? When he was pure and holy and righteous altogether. Because the Father, it pleased the Father. It pleased the Father to bruise him. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his days, resurrection and life. He died for the sins of his people. He was offered as a pure, holy, sinless sacrifice. You know, my beloved friends, we read in the Song of Solomon, he is the chiefest among 10,000. You could take 10,000s of all the specimens of the sons of men, the finest specimens of the sons of men, but not one would compare with Jesus Christ. Why? Because they're all sin. They're born in sin. They're shapen in iniquity. That is man. That's what man is. But this man, this holy God man, he did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. Spotless, innocent and pure, our great Redeemer stood, while Satan's fiery darts he bore and did resist the blood. He laid down his life to redeem his church and his people. He promised that he would do it. There are several places in the Word of God where very clearly, beautifully and emphatically these things are set before us. My mind, it just goes to the prophecy of Isaiah and in chapter 25. And then in verse 6 we read, and in this mountain, that's the mountain of Zion, and this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. That's the glorious holy sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a feast of fat things. I am the bread of life. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. It was divinely commanded, and it was divinely performed. There was never any way that this could miscarry. This is the way that the Lord redeemed his people and delivered his people from sin and from Satan's power. We read in the prophecy of Hosea and in the 13th chapter and the 14th verse, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. What does that mean, repentance? I will not turn away. Whatever the cost, even though it cost me my life, even though it cost me terrible sufferings and grief, and even though I must pass through terrible temptations, yet repentance is hid from mine eyes. He was determined to save. He was determined to deliver his people. I come to do the will of him that sent me. And that's exactly what Christ has done. It's the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Everlasting life in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul, in that exceedingly well-known chapter, the 15th chapter of the first epistle to the Corinthians, how beautifully he speaks there of the glorious victory of Christ. He says here in verse 53, for this corruptible, that's what we are, sinful, wretched, corrupt, unholy. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. We just read it in Isaiah. We just read it in Hosea. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. I love that word in the Paul's epistle to the Philippians, and the third chapter and the last two verses of that third chapter of the Philippians. For our conversation, if you have a marginal reference, it says citizenship. For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able. Such a lovely word that is, whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Yes, even this vile body, even this wretched, corruptible body, he's able to change. And they shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. See, my beloved friends, these things are written for our instruction. These things are written for our comfort and for our consolation. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son, do you long to see him? Are you waiting for him? Are you looking for him? Blessed characters that are waiting for Christ, that are looking for Christ. Is he precious in the desire after him? Do you long to lay hold of him? Do you long to touch the hem of his garment? And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. Not a hoof shall be left behind. We read in Amos of the sieve and the sieving of the wheat. And what does it say there when the sieving of the wheat, not a grain shall fall to the ground? Not one grain. You know, the Lord, he said to Peter, Satan hath desired to have thee, to sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. None of the Lord's children, their faith cannot fail. You have many fears, but your faith cannot fail. It's a faith that is given by God, and it's a faith that is wrought in the heart by the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will remain in your heart and keep alive the spirit of faith in your soul. This is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will. It seems almost as if there's a desire here to emphasize it. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Now you see how many of them misunderstood the teaching. And the Lord Jesus, he said, I am the living bread, verse 51, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? These were the unbelievers. They couldn't understand. They didn't realize that this is what the bread of life is. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh. He means here spiritually to live upon the sacrifice of Christ. Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. How vital it is that we feed by faith on the glorious person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. How many times he emphasizes this, both verses of our text and again here. And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Oh, how sacred when by faith we catch a little glimpse of our suffering Saviour. In our wretched room, place and stead, Jesus living, suffering, bleeding, dying for our sins, rising again for our justification. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. You see, and many were offended. Many turned back, but no longer follow him. Well, my beloved friends, may the Lord lead us by faith into the sacred preciousness of these words. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. This is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. It's divinely certain. Those that are brought into union with Christ here below, those that are raised up to a hope in the glorious person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, they shall be raised in that great day. May the Lord add his blessing. Let us now sing together hymn number 487. The tune is Dada Mater 77. Christians, dismiss your fear. Let hope and joy succeed. The great good news with gladness hear. The Lord is risen indeed. The shades of death withdrawn, his eyes their beams display. So wakes the sun when rosy dawn unbars the gates of day. Hymn 487.
Thank you.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.